Good morning, everyone. Welcome. It's so wonderful to see you on this summer morning. It's so wonderful to be together as a community. A warm welcome to Rosedale United Church. My name is Kristen. I'm the minister for worship and spiritual care. And with me this morning in leadership is Oscar Hodgson, our organ scholar. Mariana Bell is our cantor this morning. Thank you both for being here and for your gift of music. We are a congregation committed to supporting human flourishing here in the heart of our neighborhood and all around our city, and we gather each week to learn, to grow, and to serve. We are proud to be an affirming congregation representing a variety of ages, gender identities, sexualities, family configurations, backgrounds. This is a place where everyone is welcome. And we welcome especially members of Rosedale Presbyterian Church this morning. I recognize you guys now. Hello. So glad that you're with us. It's so awesome to have you. And a reminder that we will be joining our friends at Rosedale Presbyterian for the month of August and through the September long weekend. We do have a time, as always, for coffee and conversation after the service, and we do hope you'll stay right through those doors there. We're following a theme through this whole summer season, and the theme is finding the thread. Summer really is a time where we're invited to find again the thread of our lives, and also what connects us to our deepest selves, to our families, to our communities, to the earth. Summer is a time for many of us to come back to what's important to us. So that's the theme that we've been following, and we've been using our scriptures to bring spirituality into the conversation. How does our faith tradition help us to find again the thread of our lives? We started by asking tough questions. That was where the first set of scriptures led us into asking tough questions of ourselves. That's a way to come back. Then we moved to the practice of compassion. And this week, we have a special guest here to help us with our third practice in finding the thread, regaining our rhythm. And our guest is here from Glebe Road United Church, part of our North Toronto cluster. A warm welcome to Angie Von Bedeker. Angie, if you want to say hi. Angie's part of the Licensed Lay Worship Leader Program, same as our Mariana Bell, who's also in the same program. And we're delighted that you're with us, Angie, and bringing us this message around regaining our rhythm. Wonderful. Thank you for being with us. I think that's it for my announcements this morning. So I will invite us to stand in body or spirit, however we are comfortable, and to call ourselves to worship. What can separate us from the love of Christ? For God is with us in the sunshine and in our joy, encouraging our energy, inspiring our delight. For God is with us in the storms and distress, holding us close, keeping us strong. For God is with us now, receiving our prayers, accepting our praise, loving us always. For God is with us as we are united in worship and proclaim the love of Christ. Friends, we sing together, Blessed Jesus. This is in the Red Hymn Book, Voices United.
Thank you.
The peace of Christ be with you all. Friends, we are invited to extend this peace to those who are around us. Please feel free to leave your pew, go shake hands, welcome people in the name of Christ. The greeting is simple. Peace be with you. Friends, we light our Christ candle. This candle is a symbol of our intention to be open and attentive to God's presence and guidance during our time of worship. I also want to point out this beautiful imagery that we have with us. So this is, it's right here by the Bible because it's an illustration of one of the biblical stories that we're going to hear, the parable of the sower. And this work was done by Reverend Cynthia O'Connell, who is the minister at Glebe Road, where Angie worships. So we're grateful for this beauty that Cynthia has added to our service this morning and for the meaning it brings. I want to invite us into a time of silence and then a moment to gather ourselves and our spirits in prayer. We do this knowing that all of us woke up this morning hearing of news of violence in our city, and our hearts are heavy with that news. And also, we are holding all who were affected and are affected by this. And so, sometimes silence is the only place we can go, and so we go there. Let us pray. God of steadfast love, you set before us the call of faith and service. You give us reason to live in ways that both nurture us and challenge us. You assure us with your compassion and surprise us with your resolve. As your people, we seek to live with your purpose and to share your sensitivity. Be with us in our journey of faith, a journey we share with people around the world as we celebrate all that Jesus taught us in the sharing of these words. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I mentioned our theme this morning is regaining our rhythm. And so that, of course, is where our opening question leads us. How are you regaining your rhythm this summer? How are you regaining your rhythm? And around that, how have you fallen out of your rhythm? Or where have you fallen out of your rhythm? This is a question that's just for you and your own heart. How are you regaining your rhythm this summer? I invite you into this moment of contemplation as Oscar plays. I invite Anne forward with our scriptures this morning. And as she comes forward, some brief words of context. We've been following the story of Abraham and Sarah and their son Isaac. Last week we met Rebecca. And now we are continuing that story with the birth of Isaac and Rebecca's twins, Jacob and Esau. I'll let Anne take over from here.
Let us pray. O God, your word is a lamp for our feet and a light to our path. Give us grace to receive your truth in faith and love. Amen. A reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 25, verses 19 to 34. These are the descendants of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, daughter of Bethuel, the Artemek of Padda Aram, sister of Laban, the Aramean. Isaac prayed to the Lord, for his wife was barren, and the Lord granted his prayer, and his wife Rebekah conceived. The children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it is to be like this way, why do I live?" So she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples born of you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other. The elder shall serve the younger." When her time to give birth was at hand, there were twins in her womb. The first came out red, all his body like a hairy mantle. So they named him Esau. Afterward, his brother came out, with his hand gripping Esau's heel. So he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore. When the boys grew up, Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, while Jacob was a quiet man living in tents. Isaac loved Esau because he was fond of gain, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Once, when Jacob was cooking a stew, Esau came in from the field, and he was famished. Esau said to Jacob, "Let me eat some of that red stuff, for I am famished." Therefore, he was called Edom. Jacob said, "First, sell me your birthright." Esau said, "I am about to die. Of what use is a birthright for me?" Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore to him and sold him the birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank and rose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. May God guide and support us in understanding this reading of his scripture. The second reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 1 to 9, 18 to 23. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the crowd whole stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on a path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. If you have ears, hear." Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is the sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one which hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the age and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. In these ancient words, may we hear wisdom for living today.
Want to follow along with the words of my solo, which is called On Eagle's Wings, a familiar and well-loved piece. The words are on page 808 in the Red Hymn Book.
Thank you. Testing, testing.
Sound is okay, everybody?
Yeah. Can you hear me? Okay. Let us start with a prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Summer has a different rhythm. The pace slows, school ends, church programs pause, gardens are planted, vacations are planned. We spend more time outdoors and a little less watching the clock. Even for those who continue working, summer seems to whisper, slow down, take a deep breath. Perhaps that invitation is exactly what our souls need. In today's gospel, Jesus tells one of his most familiar parables, the parable of the sower. Jesus often taught through stories because stories have a way of slipping past our defenses and settling deep within us. A farmer goes out to sow seeds. The seeds fall everywhere. Some land on the hard path and are eaten by birds. Some fall on rocky ground where it springs up quickly, but it withers in the heat because it has no roots. Some fall among thorns that choke its growth. But some fall on good soil and produce an abundant harvest. At first glance, this parable seems to be about soil. But perhaps Jesus is talking about the condition of our hearts. The seed is always the same. It's God's word. God's love, grace, forgiveness, hope, and an invitation into an abundant life. The difference is never the seed. The difference is how it is received. If we're honest, each one of us has been a different kind of seed at different times in our life. Sometimes our hearts become hard, like a well-worn path. Life disappoints us. We've been hurt. We become skeptical or exhausted, and God's word struggles to find a place. Sometimes we're on a rocky path. We receive God's word with joy, but when illness comes, or a relationship breaks down, or uncertainty overwhelms us, our faith struggles to take that root. Sometimes the thorns take over. Worry, busyness, grief, anxiety, financial pressures, and the endless responsibilities crowd out the space where God's love is trying to grow. And sometimes, thanks be to God, we become good soil, open, receptive, willing to let God transform us so that our lives will bear fruit for others. I wonder if today's gospel, Jesus is also speaking and teaching us something about the sacred rhythm of seasons and time. Seeds remind us that God's work is often quiet and hidden. While we are attempting to fill every moment, God is patiently growing something beneath the surface. Every farmer knows that growth cannot be rushed. There's time to sow, a time to cultivate, a time to wait, and a time to harvest. The field does not produce fruit every single day of the year. Even creation lives by God's rhythm. Yet many of us live as though we are expected to produce all the time. We rush from one responsibility to another. We fill every empty space of our calendars. We measure our worth by our productivity, and we convince ourselves that if we stop, everything will fall apart. But creation tells a different story. The earth rests through winter. Trees stand bare before budding again in spring. Fields are dormant, Even God rested on the seventh day. Rest is not the opposite of productivity. Rest is what makes healthy growth possible. I've had the privilege of living and teaching in Africa. It changed me. Not because of what I taught, but because of what the people and the culture and the land taught me. One of my greatest lessons was about time. As a North American, I treated time as though it belonged to me. I scheduled it, saved it, spent it, and guarded it fiercely. I even caught myself saying things like, "You're wasting my time," as though time were my personal possession. I always seemed to have too little of it. When I first arrived in Africa nearly 30 years ago, there were no cell phones. If I wanted to make a call, I had to use the town's only payphone. It was constantly busy and often broken. I would stand in line for an hour or more in the hot African sun, only to have the line go dead, or the operator would disappear on an extended break, or to discover that half of the phone book was missing. I couldn't help but feeling that you're wasting my time. Then there was the train. I once traveled from Zimbabwe to Botswana by car. The trip would take no more than 3 hours. By train that day, it took 14. The train was already 8 hours late when I finally asked somebody, "When is the train coming?" They smiled and they answered, "Now, now." An hour later, I asked again, "Now, now." And another hour passed. "It's coming now, now." I became more and more frustrated. Yet everyone else seemed perfectly content. Families chatted, children played, people shared food, laughed, and waited patiently under the hot African sun. Finally, after waiting all day, I asked one last time, "Is this train actually coming?" This time they smiled and they said, "Just now." Minutes later, the train arrived. That's when I learned that in Zimbabwe, "now now" means "in a while," and "just now" means "right now." All day I thought I was learning about trains. In truth, God was teaching me about patience. That day, I began to discover a very different understanding of time. Time was not a possession. Time belonged to relationships. Conversations mattered more than schedules. People were present with one another. No one hurried through a conversation because they had to go to another appointment. Time was understood as a gift that made life possible, not something that belonged to one person alone. Time is our most precious gift because, unlike money or possessions, it cannot be earned or stored away. Once the moment has passed, it's gone forever. The real question is not how much time we have. The real question is what and whom we choose to give our time to. At first, I struggled with this African rhythm. I was accustomed to watching the clock and planning every hour. But slowly I realized that life was moving at a healthier pace. People took time to greet one another. They took time to listen. They took time to pray. They gathered for hours beneath the shade of the great baobab trees, singing with joy and worshiping God with a depth of faith that often brought tears to my eyes. I learned that not every moment needs to be filled with producing or accomplishing or succeeding. Sometimes God's deepest work happens in the spaces that we leave open. I was also deeply moved by the faith of the people I met. By North American standards, many had very little. Yet there was a richness among them that could never be measured. Their worship was joyful. Their prayer was heartfelt. Their trust in God was profound. They reminded me that abundance is not measured by what we own, but what fills our heart. Jesus speaks of a harvest yielding 30, 60, and even 100-fold. The abundance of God's kingdom is not about producing more. It's about becoming more receptive to God's grace. Good soil is not soil that works harder. Good soil is soil that is open, receptive, ready to receive what God is already giving. Perhaps that is God's invitation this summer, to become receptive once again, to loosen our grip on the clock, to remember that our value is not measured by our productivity, to reconnect with God, with those we love, and with ourselves, to rest, not rest as laziness, not rest as an escape, but rest as a renewal. Because summer is not simply a pause from our responsibilities. It's a preparation for them. Farmers know that healthy soil produces healthy crops. Athletes know that recovery strengthens performance. Musicians know that silence is a part of music. And disciples need seasons of renewal. In a few short months, autumn will arrive. Programs will begin again, meetings will be scheduled, school buses will return, the familiar responsibility of church, work, family, and community will begin again and need our attention. The question is not whether we will return. The question is how. Will we return exhausted or renewed? Will we return frantic or with the wisdom of a slower pace? Will we carry anxiety or trust? The people I met in Zimbabwe taught me that life becomes richer when relationships come before schedules and when faith comes before all. What I came to think of as African time seemed to stretch the distance of the sun. Time did not belong to individuals. It felt as unconditional, as uncontained as air and wind or sunshine. It was not something anyone could own, control, or hoard. Rather, it was a gift from God that made life possible, a gift to share. That understanding changed me. I began to see that the most meaningful moments in life rarely happen because they fit into a neat schedule. They happen because we make room for one another. Time spent listening, laughing, praying, grieving, celebrating, or simply being present is never wasted. Those moments are where relationships deepen, faith grows, and God's love takes root. Jesus teaches that fruitfulness begins with a receptive heart. And summer reminds us that growth requires time. Perhaps that is God's invitation this season. Slow down. Breathe deeply. Spend time with those you love. Sit quietly in God's presence. Walk without rushing. Pray without watching the clock. And allow your soul to become good soil once again. Because God is still scattering seeds every day, every season. May this summer give us the courage to stop long enough to receive them. And when autumn comes, may we return not exhausted, but renewed, not anxious, but grounded, not simply busy, but fruitful. May we discover God's rhythm of our lives so that the seeds of grace planted within us may grow into a harvest of faith, hope, and love. Amen.
How wonderful to hear Angie's words. They arrived in my heart like a seed landing in good soil. Felt like a fresh drink of water. Thank you, Angie. Friends, we stand and sing in response, and we're singing, O Love, How Deep. We'll be singing verses 1, 2, and 7. Verses 1, 2, and then jumping to 7. So many wonderful gifts to celebrate in our community this morning. The gift of Angie being with us and your words, the gift of Mariana and her voice, and also for those who haven't been with us before, it is Mariana who made this quilt that is sort of our focus symbol as well for the season, finding the thread. Mariana thought this would be a wonderful symbol, and it is. We're so grateful to you, Mariana, and to you, Angie. Friends, let us share in this service and this feast of communion together. I invite you to join with me in our Eucharistic prayer. May God be with us. Let us open our hearts to God. We open them to God and to one another. Let us give thanks to God. It is right to give thanks and praise. Holy wisdom of God, so different and strange from our wisdom, and compassionate toward our weakness, we praise you and give you thanks. You emptied yourself of power and entered our struggle, taking upon you our flesh. You opened your arms wide for us upon the cross, becoming scandal for our sake, that you might sanctify even the grave for hope for your people. Therefore, with those who are made refugees in their own land, abandoned or betrayed by friends, whose bodies are violated or in pain, with those who have died alone, without dignity, comfort, or hope, and with all the company of saints who have carried you in their wombs, we join to praise you, saying, Holy, 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 vulnerable God, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of God. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is our brother, Jesus, who before his suffering earnestly desired to eat with his companions the Passover of liberation, who, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and said, Take, this is my body, which is for you. Do this to remember me. In the same way, after supper, he passed the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it to remember me. Remembering the death and celebrating the resurrection, we await with hope the coming again of compassion and justice to the earth. Therefore, as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we are proclaiming Christ's death until he comes. In this communion, we restore to memory and hope the broken and unremembered, and we long for the bread of tomorrow and the wine of the age to come. Come, then, life-giving Spirit of our God, brood over these bodily things, make us one with the body of Christ, that we may labor with creation to be delivered from its bondage into the glorious liberty of all the children of God. Amen. Friends, this table is an open table. All who long to walk in the way of love and justice are welcome to be nourished by this feast. We have today two different bread offerings, a challah loaf that does have raisins in it. So, if those are not for you, or if you have a gluten sensitivity, we have rice crackers as well, and you can take whatever you like. Friends, come, for all is now ready. Thank you. Friends, let us pray. May your feast feed us, God. Create in us hearts receptive to rest, open to renewal, ready to heal. Nourish us that we may care for your world and for others, and be with us in the bread and the cup. Amen. We sing together our closing hymn, "We Shall Go Out with Hope of Resurrection." And again, you're invited to stand in body or spirit, whatever feels comfortable for you. Friends, we go now into this day, into this new week, renewed by this concept of time as a gift that makes life possible. May God bless our thoughts, our words, our hearts. May God nourish our faith that we may know peace, that we may share peace, that we may feel grace. We bless each other as we go.